Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is our sweet hour of prayer. And we pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Fridays. And at 7 p.m., our very own Apostle R.D. Wiggins will come with our lesson today in basic theology. Because our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. the effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is the reason why we are here every day to Saturdays. And we pray for you, we pray with you, and we pray right along beside you. Amen. So at this time, I would like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. So first, let us pray. My Heavenly Father, as we enter this sanctuary, we bring your presence with us. We speak your peace, your grace, and your mercy, and your perfect order into this sanctuary. We acknowledge your power over all that will be spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts you have blessed us with. We commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Give us a fresh supply of strength to do our job. Anoint our projects and our ideas and energize them so that even our smallest accomplishment may bring you glory. And Lord, when we are confused, please guide us. When we are weary, please energize us. When we are burnt out, please infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit. And may the work that we do and the way that we do it brings faith, joy, and a smile to all that we come in contact with today. And oh Lord, when we leave this place, give us traveling mercy. Bless our family and home to be in order as we left it, Lord God. We thank you for everything that you are doing. We thank you for everything that you're going to do. We thank you for everything that you're doing. And we thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your
Amen. Praise be to God. Again, welcome to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every day, from Tuesday to Fridays, from 6 to 7. At 7 p.m., our very own Apostle the Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. If you would like to join us, you can dial in 319-527-6204 and join in our lesson. If you want to ask questions, we're going through the Bible. And right now, we are talking about the subject of angels. Amen. So if you want to join us again, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. And again, this is our Sweet Hour of Prayer. And at this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting. Amen. So this selection is I Am by Jason Nelson. Praise be to God. I hope you enjoy this inspirational selection.
I am the creator. I am the maker of the universe. I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, can stand. I am a healer, mender of broken hearts, Alpha Omega, your destiny and where you start. I am the one who does impossible. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you.
Stop it.
I am the one. A need and always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word,
moment and consider. When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. Rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Keeps my mind, the grace you've shown towards me. I just can't believe how you never turned away when I pushed you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. Follow me, I still can't believe how you never let me go, how you never lost your hope. You keep proving your love to me. Thank you.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. Welcome to Pray One for Another, sweet hour of prayer, where we pray for you, with you, and right beside you. And this is why we're here, because our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you have something that you would like to even thank God for, what he done in your life, in your family life, or even in your neighbors, or even in an enemy, all you have to do is dial in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. And there's always someone here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Our daily bread and scripture reading for this evening is entitled Something Much Bigger. And our scripture reading is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. Amen? And where it does say, what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believe. Even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. The text for this message is coming from 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, where it says, we are co-workers in God's service. Amen. Praise be to God. And again, the title is Something Much Bigger. The writer says, more than 200 volunteers assisted October Books, a bookstore in Southampton, England, moved its inventory to an address down the street. Helpers lined the sidewalk and passed books down a human convoy belt. Having witnessed the volunteers in action, a store employee said, it was a really moving experience to see people helping. They wanted to be part of something bigger. We can also be part of something much bigger than ourselves. God uses us to reach the world with the message of his love. Because someone shared the message with us, we can turn to another person and pass it on. Amen. Paul compared this, the building of God's kingdom, to growing a garden. Some of us plant seeds, while some of us water the seed. We are, as Paul said, co-workers in God's service. Each job is important. Yet all are done in the power of God's Spirit. By His Spirit, God enables people to thrive spiritually when they hear that He loves them and sent His Son to die in their place so that they can be free from their sin, John 3:16. God does much of His work on earth through volunteers like you and me. Although we are part of a community that's much bigger than any contribution we may make, we can help it grow by working together to share His love with the world. To God be the glory. Question: do you see yourself as a part of God's plan or as someone who works alone in your service for God? And how does this affect the way in which you serve Him and others? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for including us in your plan to tell everyone about your love. Help us to represent you well with our words and actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. At this time, again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, and this is our sweet hour of prayer where we pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Friday. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to play another selection as we're waiting for our speakers for this evening. Praise be to God.
control of me, show me the way to go, use me and move me, yeah, from this place where I'm at, yeah, I need an answer, and you know all the facts, I'm done all I can, tired of making mistakes, over and over, no. over again. So I'm calling, calling on you. And you always know what to do. So I'm praying, praying to be. When I get up, I'll stand in victory. Me, Lord, yeah, take full control of me, show me the way to go, use me and move me, yeah, take away the hurt, when I can't seem to make it work. I've done all that I can. Turn on your word, I'm ready to stand. So I'm hearing, hearing your voice. In silence and in melody, yeah. So I'm flowing, flowing in your will. All that I am, I have to fulfill. Oh, move me, Lord, yeah, take full control of me, show me the way to go, use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah, take full control of me, show me the way to go, use me and move me, yeah, move me, Lord, yeah, take full control of me, show me the way to go, use me and move me, yeah, move me, Lord, yeah, take full control of me, show me the way to go, use me and move me, yeah, move me, Lord, yeah, take full control of me, show me the way to go, use me and move me, yeah, move me, Lord, yeah, take full control of me, show me the way to go, use me and move me, yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God again. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, and this is our sweet hour of prayer where we pray for you, with you, and right beside you, every Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. Again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. And at this time, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection. Praise God.
Father, Lord, save my life.
praise be to God, everybody. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now at this time, our very own Apostle Audie Wiggins is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And we're going to welcome him with a hand clap praise. God bless you, Apostle Audie Wiggins. How are you this evening?
I'm all right. God bless. How's everybody doing?
You have to speak a little louder.
Yeah. All right. Give me a minute. Let me just open this.
Okay, while we're waiting on Pastor. God bless you, Lady Nadine. How are you this evening?
All right. Praise the Lord. My name is Apostle Archie Wiggins. We want to thank you for Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And we're looking at the ranking of angels. All right. And we're talking about the ranking of angels. All right. I believe that's where we're at.
Yes.
All right.
Number 3, chapter 20.
Where you at? You can start reading it, Evangelist.
Okay. The Archangel. Only Michael is designated as the Archangel or high-ranking angel. And we see that in Jude. I'll read Jude 9 and 1. Hilda, could you get Thessalonians 4 and 16?
Okay.
So Jude 9 and 1 says, but Michael, the archangel, when he argued with the devil, disputing concerning the body of Moses, did not dare to pronounce the blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebukes you.
Okay.
And Thessalonians 4 and 16.
Yes.
First Thessalonians.
So you started with the Archangel Michael?
Yes.
So Jude 9 says, but Michael the Archangel.
I read that.
All right.
Now, Hilda's reading Thessalonians 4 and 16.
Okay. Where it says 4 and 16, where are you? 9. These things are so tiny. 15. Okay, now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. Amen.
Was that 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16?
Oh, that's 2. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. 4, 13, 14, 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Amen. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you taking over, Pastor?
No, you read it ahead. Although,
the Bible nowhere speaks of other archangels, there evidently are other high-ranking high-ranking angels. And we see that in Daniel 10 and 13. You want to read that, Pastor?
But the prince of the kingdom of Persia stood before me for 21 days, and look, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to assist me, and I left him there beside the king of the Persians.
Amen. So when Paul says that the voice of the archangel will be heard at the translation of the church, he does not seem to feel the need to name that archangel, which supports the conclusion that there's only one. So what is the name of that archangel that Paul refers to?
Michael.
Yes, Michael. Only archangel. In the Old Testament, Michael appears as the guardian angel of Israel. And that's in, Pastor, did you read Daniel 10 and 21?
However, I will tell you what in the book of the truth, and there is not one who contends with me against these beings except Michael, your prince.
Mm-hmm. And 12 and 1.
The resurrection of two groups. The time of the judgment and resurrection of two groups. This is in Daniel 12 and 1. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince, will arise, the protector over the sons of your people, and it will be a time of distress that has not been since your people have been a nation until that time. And at that time, your people will escape, everyone who is found written in the scroll.
Mm-hmm. So he was the guardian angel of Israel, who will particularly help Israel during its time of great trouble yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
He leads the angelic armies of heaven against Satan and his hosts of evil ones. And that's in Revelation 12 and 7.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. And in June 9, for Michael, the archangel.
The reference in June and 9 to Michael's disputing about the body of Moses indicates that Michael had something to do with the burial of Moses, that mm-hmm. he had no power within himself to pronounce judgment on Satan, mm-hmm. and that as a creature, even though a mighty one, he has to depend on the greater power of God.
Amen.
That was very interesting.
Yes, because even though he's an angel and he has power, but he can't do anything without God's permission.
Amen. And the power of God.
Yes.
Because what did we see in Jude? Let's go back to Jude said, but Michael the archangel, when he argued with the devil, disputing concerning the body of Moses, did not dare to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but
right.
said, the Lord will rebuke you. The
that's
Lord
right.
is going to take care of you.
Oh, yeah. And that's what we should do, too. When we have an argument with somebody, we just got to
yes.
say, God will take care of you. No,
that's
I ain't
right,
going to say
that.
Nothing bad to send my soul. God will take care of it.
That's
just like
right.
Micah did.
That's right. Praise God. Yeah. I'm going to remember that one.
Oh, yes. Lord God, rebuke you. Wow.
Okay, Pastor.
Praise be chief princes.
Mm-hmm.
Praise Dan, in Daniel, I guess in Daniel 10 and 13. And it said the chief princess, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to assist me, referring to a group of superior angels, underscores the fact of ranking among the angels of this group of chief princes, Michael apparently the foremost one, because he is the archangel. An apocryphal book of Enoch names Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Jeremiah, and Uriel as the four principal angels who were privileged to stand around the throne of God. All right, so we're talking about 9 and 1, where it says,
Enoch, that's a book.
Right.
That's not one of the it's canon.
Yeah.
That's an Enoch. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's interesting that it speaks on the fact that it goes into the fact
that it actually names the other. So that's like saying,
apparently
never saw the name.
One, because he is the archangel. So he's the archangel. But then it talked about a apocryphal book of Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another book. He names Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Jeremiah, and Uriel as the four principal angels who are privileged to stand around the throne of God. So who are those angels? Michael, number
one.
Gabriel, number two. Raphael, number three. Jeremiah, number four. And Uriel. So Gabriel, Raphael, Jeremiah, and Uriel as the four principal angels who were privileged to stand around the throne of God. Michael is the archangel. So obviously he's like on top of all of them.
So he's like in charge of those other angels?
He's like the top angel. It also numbers seven angels as archangels. So, you know, that's a different book, though, because it's talking about the apocryphal book of Enoch. So that's another book. That's not the Bible.
Right.
Two rulers of principalities. These words used seven times by Paul indicate an order of angels, both good and evil. Right, involved in governing the universe.
Rulers and principalities.
Authorities, rulers and principalities. These words used seven times by Paul indicate an order of angels, both good and evil, involved in governing the universe.
Well, let's read this chapter.
And let's really take that in. Think about that. Governmental rulers. And what are they? Rulers and principalities. These words used seven times by Paul, by the Apostle Paul, indicate an order of angels, both good and evil, involved in governing the universe.
So Romans 8 and 38. Says, which is one of my favorite scriptures, but I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers. So it names the angels and rulers, yeah. And then in Ephesians
rulers.
On 1 and 21 it says, above all rule and authority and power and lordship and every name, not only in this age, but also in the coming one.
So he's talking about it from a very general perspective, but he's talking about authorities as well. All right, where was that? Authorities or powers. This likely emphasizes the human, superhuman authority of angels and demons exercised in relations to the affairs of the world. So he sees it from a supernatural perspective, authorities or powers. This emphasizes the superhuman authority of angels and demons exercised in relationship to the affairs of the world. So think of it from his perspective of being Paul. And he's dealing with life and what he's going through. Proclaiming the word of God, you know. So he sees spiritual perspective. You know, these words used seven times by Paul indicate angels, both good and evil, involved in governing the universe. Like when you start reading those scriptures, you know, you said 3 and 10. In order that the many-sided wisdom of God might be made known now to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places through the church. You say authorities and powers, this likely emphasizes the superhuman authority of angels and demons exercised in relation to the affairs of the world. So I guess that's dealing with the relationship of the church and within the church. Angels and demons, demonic power, right?
Okay.
But what does it say? And you are filled in him who is the head over every ruler and authority.
What are you reading now?
I'm still reading the thing that deals with Rome, all those scriptures. And now I'm
reading number 2.
Look, what are we reading?
I'm asking you, what part are you up to?
What do y'all understand about what we just went through? Here?
I don't know where you are. That's what I'm saying.
I'm with you. I'm exactly where you at. Where you at?
Are you reading authorities or powers?
Well, we did what? Rulers and principalities, right? But we have to look at authorities or powers because they interchange them.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. Where are you at?
What is the difference between the two?
What scripture have you read already? That's all I want to know.
I read the scriptures under Romans, Ephesians, and Colossians.
You read them all?
Pretty much. Most of them I read.
Ephesians 1 and 21, 2 and 2, 3 and 10, 6 and 12.
I mean,
you read all those?
Yeah, I mean, I was reading them, you know, I was reading them. I can just point to them and read them. I don't have to go look for them. So, you know, like I can just go wrong. 8:38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers. But see, when we say powers, and he's using the word powers there, you have to notice that authorities are powers. So So he's using them interchangeably. So is his viewpoint of power, this likely emphasizes the superhuman authority of angels exercised in relationship to affairs of the world.
So
how do we look at this and place it in conjunction with his view of power? He said, above all rule and authority and power. Okay, and it's telling us to kind of like realize what he means when he says authorities or power is different to what when we see the word when we think of authority or power. Because I think that Paul is dealing with an issue of life and death. I mean, become a marked man. And, you know, this whole authoritative or power, this likely emphasizes the superhuman authority of angels and demons exercised in relation affairs of the world. So he's like, is demonic power that it's against the gospel of Jesus Christ because he has to die for this gospel to be and his job is to pass it on to Timothy. You know, he's under Nero, you know. And Nero was one of the cruelest in terms of, martyring Christians. You know, he was very cruel. But even Christ said, if you follow me, you have to be willing to die. That's what he told them. Before he talked to the mount and they first followed him, he told them, anyone who follows me has to be willing to lose their life in order to gain their life.
So all of these governmental rules, they all have the same scriptures?
And he didn't repeat himself when he said it. You just said it. Like,
they don't all have the same scripture. There's other scriptures for authority and power.
Authority for powers, what are we talking about?
Oh, and we say 1 and 2, 3 and 10, 6 and 12.
Again, what does it mean? Those four.
They're all the same scripture.
Someone asked the question, what those words are. Rulers and principalities, authorities and powers. What's the difference between the two? Come on, Nadine.
Rulers and principalities indicate an order of the angels, both good and evil, involving the governing of the universe. Authorities or powers is that it emphasizes the superhuman authority of angels and demons exercise in a relationship to the affairs of the world. So the difference is one is the order of the angels, both good and evil. The other one, authorities and powers, emphasizes their superhuman authority of both angels and demons. But
okay,
they all deal with how they are positioned in the world.
One is the white-collar worker, and the other one is the blue-collar. The white-collar The white-collar worker deals with governing the universe. It's an order and deals with governing the universe. So when you say governing the universe, it includes all the planets, all the stars, the entire universe. That's a deep, you know, an order of angels, both good and evil, involved in governing the universe, the affairs of. Okay. But at the same token, there are authorities or powers going on, and their job are superhuman authority of angels and demons exercised in relationship to the affairs of the world. So they are involved in the affairs of the world, but from a supernatural perspective, you got good and evil angels at the same time dealing with world affairs. So, to look at it from that perspective is different from the way we look at things. Think about it. I mean, like, when I think about Paul and how he became this forerunner for Jesus Christ, and now he's a marked man. And how he doesn't even look at it like, well, this one is after me, this one. He groups it all in angelic because he has this holy visitation. So now he's, I think, you know, God has given him the ability to see things, you know, because he, like, he makes this whole case about the fact that the power that he gets in order to bear everything that he's going through, he gets from grace. Because in his mind, he's met God. And he has met God. And he's like a servant of God. I mean, you know, I think we take a minute to actually say, well, I've met God. When you talk about Paul saying he met God, it's different from when we say we met God. Because this man put his life on the line. Like, he was hired to take the apostles out.
Understandably, but I think right now, we're just learning about the differences between the angels. And I don't think that these differences, like, between the angels has, you know,
Let's apply it now. When you read it now, let's apply it. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor
But you keep
nor,
reading Romans 8 and 38. There's
I'm showing you where the
authorities and powers are explained in the other scriptures.
What is my point?
I don't know.
It's interchangeable throughout the scriptures that we're reading. It's not like these only deal with rules in one. It deals with both rules and principles, authorities and powers. So we needed to look at both of them and then read the scripture. And then we could see a better, clearer picture of what.
I read all the scriptures for rulers and principalities. We didn't read the authorities or powers scriptures.
Okay, we'll get to that. But did you read it and did you analyze it between the two emphasis of angels instead of, like, or above all rule and authority and powers? So above all rule and authority and power, you're dealing with an authority and angels, you know, that deal with world affairs, right? Not only in this age, but in the coming age. That doesn't give you a different perspective when you look at it like that. So above all rule, so when you say above all rulers, he's got to be talking about Christ here, because it's even above the angels, because he was there in the beginning of creation. So who is above the angels? Because of above all rulers, meaning angels that govern the universe. So looking at it on a higher level, you know, in order that the many-sided wisdom of God might be made known, not to the rulers, those that govern the universe, those angels, either good and evil, in order that the many-sided wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities. So authorities now dealing with those angels and demons that deal with world affairs. You know, that's how I'm looking at it. Do you get what I'm saying, Nadine? Nadine,
I'm kind of confused.
How I'm using the words to kind of look at the angelic, the you know, here he says, because all things in the heavens and the earth were created by him, things visible, things invisible, whether throne, dominion, rulers, are angels who, you know, dealing, governing the universe, rulers or powers are angels that deal with governing world affairs, right?
But they're the same. They're not different. It's just that these are their attributes. So all of the angels, all of the angels have authority or powers. They all have supernatural authority.
What I'm trying to say is every time he uses certain words, I'm trying to look at it from his perspective and not look at the word like I would normally look at it. Because if he says...
Right, but I thought you was making them like two separate groups of angels. Like,
you say, he says, whether it's thrones or dominions, rulers, we know we're talking about.
What scripture is that you're referring to?
It's right here, Colossians 1:16.
No, what scripture are you referring to?
Colossians 1:16.
Colossians
1:16.
Oh, okay. So you didn't say.
All things in the heavens and on the earth were created by him. Things visible, things and things invisible. Whether thrones or dominions, rulers, all right, are angels who are what?
Governing the universe.
Right. Rulers or powers are angels that are governing the affairs of the world. So, you know, we're dealing with angelic beings that create our fate and have an effect on our fate and circumstances, right? It's like being in a plane, you know, you know, the ride gets bumpy. Your hands is in, you got to listen to the pilot. Your life is in the hands of the pilot. All right, and you are filled in him who is the head of every ruler and authority. Again, there it goes, the ruler. So he's covering the whole gamut. Angels, both good and evil, in the universe and in the affairs of the earth, that govern the universe and that govern the earth. I don't know if I quite see it like that. It was weird. like trying to annotate it, like, but it was, I don't know. Let's do the next one. Ephesians, above all rule and authority and power and lordship and every name, not only in this age, but also in the coming one. So that's mean above all angels, good and evil. Angels that govern the universe, and angels that govern the affairs of the world. All angels good and evil, above all angels. Can we look at it like that? Nadine?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you do the next one. You have to substitute it with, you know, whether it's rulers, principalities, authority, or power. All right, do the next one. Go ahead, Nadine.
In order that the man-sided wisdom of God might be made known now to the rulers who are the good and evil angels who govern the universe and the authorities in heaven. Those are the good or evil demons who have superhuman authority over the affairs of the world in the heavenly places through the church.
So in which you formerly walked?
Hmm?
So who formerly walked when you look at it that way? So do you think this is more like the evil spirits because is that he formerly walked? Is an indication of more evil because it end up in disobedience, the product of it. So it's funny to see how there are good angels both that deal with both the universe and affairs of the world, and there's evil angels at the same time who do the same thing. So it seems like the ride can just get bumpy, you know. Like, you know, you're really in the, you know, you're in the master's hand, you know. Like, so it's like being in a plane in a bumpy ride. Your life is in the pilot's hand. The pilot is God, and he decides the outcome. Okay. So let's do the next one. All right, Evangelist Hilda.
What? I don't even know where I am. I'm confused.
Ephesians 3:10.
Ephesians 3:10.
If you have the book, then you should know that we're doing rulers.
No, but you be going all over the place, so I have no idea where you be.
I'm trying to explain to you where I be. I haven't gone past two sections. Rulers and principalities, authorities, or powers. So what does it say about rulers and principalities? Read that.
We already did rulers and principalities. We up to three, actually.
No, I did, but I asked her to see if she knew where the place was.
3:10.
I jumped the gun.
So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places.
Right. But what is rulers and what is authority?
Well,
right. That means you have to read that section in the book where it says rulers or principalities, authorities or powers. You just need to read that section. It's not a lot, but you have to read it, because then that is very key to understanding all these scriptures. And why are they making this point? And it has a lot to do with angels and how they relate to the atmosphere. Because when we say the atmosphere, it's, there is no limit to the atmosphere. It just keeps going past the Milky Way, the universe, get to the black hole. Once you get to the black hole,
what are you talking about? What black hole?
I can't hear you. I don't know what you're saying. I can't hear you.
Exactly.
I said that you needed to read 1 and 2. Rulers and principalities, authorities or powers in the rivalry book. Please, Evangelist Hilda. That's what I said. And I'm just waiting for you to get to that part and read it.
Read Ephesians 1 and 21.
Rulers and principalities. That's where we're at. Talk about angels.
I want you to read number one.
The number one in Ephesians, yeah. Number one?
No, not the scripture. In the book. In the book.
Yeah.
Oh, under government rulers, he wants you to read the first one, which is number one, rulers or principalities.
Oh. These words used 7 times by Paul indicates an order of angels, both good and evil, involved in governing the universe.
Right. So the rulers and principalities are angels that govern the universe, and they could be good or they can be evil.
Okay.
But that's their rank. They basically govern the universe.
So you saying that there are different sets of angels?
They govern the universe, because God created the universe. So the angels govern God's creation, the entire universe.
And so when you go to number two, these angels, these good and evil angels have authorities or powers. They have authorities and powers. So if you read that, you know what they have. They have authorities and they have power.
Okay, so this likely authorities or powers, this likely emphasizes the superhuman authority of angels and demons exercised in relations to the affairs of the world.
Right. So they use their superhuman abilities, which would be authorities or power. They use these abilities as they govern the universe.
Okay.
As they govern the world. The world is the earth. The universe is something else. Govern the world.
They govern
the earth.
They govern the world. If they govern the universe, they govern all the planets. You can't say that they're not the same. They're not. They're definitely different. That's what makes them different. That one does the universe, the other one does just the earth, the world. So they're both good and evil angels. So there's good and evil angels in the entire universe. And you got good and evil angels who deal with the affairs of the world. How do you feel about that?
Okay.
How do you feel about that, Nadine?
That what?
What I just said.
I got cut off.
This is like pulling teeth. I said there's good and evil angels that govern the universe, and there's good and evil angels that govern the world, which is just the earth. So that means there's good and evil in the universe as well as the world. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't feel any way. I mean, we know that there are good and evil angels. But the thing that I was trying to emphasize is that the way that the ranking is, it just shows you that the good and evil angels have authorities or power that gives them that superhuman authority to the angels as they do what they need to do in the affairs of the world. So these two, one and two, is related. It's the same angel, but number two describes what they're capable of doing.
Not true, because they have different names. We look at them as groups, but they're actually names. Powers, rulers, thrones, dominions. Those are actually named angels. And I've seen pictures of them, how they look. So
how do they look?
You know, that's why I'm trying to, like, make y'all kind of like, look, it's not exactly what you think.
If you go to three explains it. Three says powers. This word underscores the fact that angels and demons have greater power than humans. Didn't say that there were angels' name powers, or there's angels' authorities. Authorities and powers.
No, I'm trying to say something to you, that there are angels called powers. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
That's not what this is saying, though.
I'm telling you, it's inferring it. So I'm telling you that there are angels called powers.
That's what I'm
talking about. I'm telling you that. Okay, now you can Google it if you want to, and you're going to find out, yeah, there are angels called powers. So that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like going, you know, when
Siri,
they use these words.
Is there angels called powers?
Oh, my God. I just said it. There are angels called powers. Yes. So I'm just saying that. You know, I learned that with angels for powers. I've seen them, pictures of them, thrones, dominions. Those are angels. They have, like, statues of them. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all, like. So when you read these things, we're seeing it one way. I'm not sure if that's how Paul meant it. You know, like, his world of spreading the gospel has made him a marked man. So when he talks about evil and he says thrones or dominions, and he's like, his whole mindset to me is just on another level, because he looks at it as pure evil. Like, his world is like, I am chosen, die. for this gospel. I mean, that's like, you know, that's easier said than done. You know, you got to respect somebody that do something like that. Like, that will make that personal sacrifice. Not everybody can do that. And he did, like, he was like, Christ is real. He is real, and he's God. He's like, this is what it is. They were right. The apostles were right. Paul is like, they were right. He's risen and meant that. Like, that's deep. No matter how you look at it, that's deep to be able to.
So that just goes against what this book is saying, because this book is not. What you're saying is that it goes against what this author is saying. And because this author is not describing authorities or power as names of angels, what this book is saying when it says authorities or powers, it says this likely emphasizes the superhuman authority of angels and demons. The superhuman power, superhuman authority of angels and demons exercised in a relationship to the affairs of the world. It doesn't say that they are separate. It says it emphasizes the angels and demons' superhuman power.
Superhuman authority.
What? Right, but it doesn't say that they're separate. Like, their names are.
But you're not explaining that.
That's what I just explained. I said this is an attribute of angels and demons. This is what angels and demons have. They have superhuman authority. That's what this is saying, that angels and demons.
You're acting like, well, this is what they have. I'm saying to you that.
You're saying this is who they are, but that's not what the sentence says.
I'm saying the book parades two groups of angels.
Not this book.
Angels.
Okay,
they're
but not this book. You saw another.
In your book, in this book, it says
this book
the
is
first
not separate.
Deals with the universe, and the second group deals with the world. That's what this book says. Hmm? It says the first.
But we got two different interpretations of it. Let's just say that.
That's what I'm trying to say, like, because that's where I'm trying to get you to make me understand how you got that interpretation. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how you got it. I don't know what I can do with that.
From the words that's written as a description. From the words that's written. That's how I came up with it.
Trying to get to it. It's like
rulers are personalities. Okay, then authorities, powers, and then power. And then places, thrones, or dominions. I'm confused.
So, I mean, the only thing we could do right now is just, you know, do some exegesis, something about whether angels are, whether there's a group of called rulers, a group called principalities, a group called authorities, and a group of angels called power. Because that's what you're saying, that this represents separate groups of angels. Angels called rulers, angels called principalities, angels called authorities, and angels called power.
So you're saying this is what I should do.
No. That's not what you should do. That's what I have to do, because I don't see what you see in these words. So I have to look up, because you already have the knowledge that there are angels called authorities and angels called power. I don't have that knowledge, and that's not what I'm getting from this book.
They call thrones and dominions, too. think they have them.
Yeah, that's not what I'm getting from this book.
They have statues of them. Well, let me see. Let's see.
There are, in this book, they're saying different angels have special responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I get kind of tied up on, you know, something like that.
Yeah, because if you look at part four, particular
Can I just join you for a second?
Sure.
Good evening. Okay, I'm looking at Google, and it says Christian Angelology Wikipedia, West Window of the Church of St. Michael and All Angels, Somerton. It depicts Christ the King in the center with nine angelic figures. Each of them represents higher role. Dominion, these are names, cherubim, seraphim, and angels, laurel, principalities, thrones, archangels, virtues, and powers. So they do call them dominions and thrones and powers and virtues. They have a ranking.
That's what I was saying. They have ranking.
Yeah, which we're not familiar with.
We're not familiar with it because when we look at the words, we look at
Don't teach that.
Yeah. So, Sister Barbara, where is that you're reading? Because now, let me ask you a question, Sister Barbara. Read 1 and 2, and do you feel like the way this book describes angels? Do you get that out of this? That this is talking about angels having.
Okay, these words used seven times by Paul indicate an order of angels, both good and evil, involved in governing the universe. It is telling us that there are angels both good and evil, and the paragraph above talking about the chief princes talks about the superiority of angels and their name. Like, Michael is the foremost one, and he's an archangel.
Right. Sister Barbara,
okay,
we got
so
that. I just want you to be one and
well,
two.
I didn't get it. I came on late, so I don't know what you got.
I know.
Yeah. Number two,
just read 1 and 2 and tell me what you interpret that. Go ahead.
This likely emphasizes the superhuman authority of angels and demons exercised in relation to the affairs of the world. Again, it's not saying what Robin has been talking about, but if we Google it, as I just did, it'll tell you that they have names like powers and thrones and dominions and such.
I get it.
And we're not.
No, I get it. But I just want to say, I want to say that.
No,
that is not how this book. Right.
No.
Okay.
Separate groups of angels.
We don't get it from that.
One group of angels deals with the affairs of the world. The other set of group of angels deal with the universe. They're not the same group. There's a separate group that deals with the universe. That's why they like the archangel, like they were saying, there's Jeremiah. Remember they named them Enoch, Yael, and, you know. So what I'm saying, I think there's a separate group.
They're all, I mean, they have them all separated, and they give you the scriptures that they
get
about
the difference each one. Then it starts to make sense why they to separate the two groups of angels. They use rulers and
Okay.
It's chapter 20. Number 3, the ranking of angels. And they give you all
so the
them.
Throne, the chief class of angels, just as dominions, a group of angels said to keep the world in proper order. Then you have virtues that are known to control the elements. So their different powers are considered warrior angels as they defend against evil, defending not only the cosmos, but also humanity. They're called powers because they have power over the devil in order to restrain the power of the demons. They also help people who are wrestling with passions, advices, to cast out an evil promoted by the enemy. They are principalities, command over the lower angels. They also direct the fulfillment of divine orders. They are also known as princedoms or rules, rules, as they directly watch over large groups and institutions, including nations and the church. I'll stop right there, and then you get archangels.
Yeah, I think what I'm looking at too, it actually puts, I guess it depends. So this one that I'm looking at, it actually puts archangel as the lowest order. And that's
really?
Completely opposite. Yes.
Right.
This is from the hierarchy of angels. It has the highest order is the seraphim, the cherubims, and the thrones. The middle order is dominions, virtue, and powers. The lowest order is the principalities, the archangels, and just regular angels. So I guess it depends on who's writing.
I don't even. How can Michael be a ruling superior archangel and he's in the lowest order? That doesn't, I don't understand.
In the
understand
lowest
that.
Order. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Conflicting information.
Maybe there's order over all. But I'm just saying that we'll see. I think we'll see as we go along. We'll see.
Wow.
It's 8:03. So yeah. We'll just do some.
Where's we at now? Where we at now?
We're just up to 2. We didn't get past 2. Authorities or powers.
Authorities or powers? All right. So let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be accepted in my sight. O Lord, I will do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Do some research. Do some research.
Wow.
Do some Amen. Research.
Yes. Yes.
All right, guys.
So it is just totally different. So they made, and the thing that you guys were reading was that Michael was the lowest rank of the angels.
That's
and this comes from Wikipedia. Let me
oh,
let
it's
you
in
know,
the
this
encyclopedia.
Is a Wikipedia.
Oh,
yeah, Wikipedia put archangels, in the lowest rank.
Oh, that's not right.
Exactly.
And I'm looking at the angelic hierarchy according to St. Thomas Aquinas. He says seraphim, cherubim and thrones, dominions, virtues and powers, principalities, and it's the third class, angels and angels. Archangels, I'm sorry, and angels. So he's put it in the lowest category. But I don't see how... The archangel, the warring angel, can be in the third. Okay.
I don't see it either, especially because the way that this explains, Michael, he's the only archangel he has the highest rank. He's the highest ranking angel. He's the only archangel.
That's what Daniel said. Daniel 10 and 13. He said that, you know, Michael is the highest ranking one, because when he was delayed, Michael came and rescued him from the Persians.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And Daniel, I think, right?
Yes, Daniel. Yeah, 10, Daniel. 13.
But it also says there are seven angels as archangels. So
yeah.
Michael is the superior one.
Right.
Other archangels.
But this book says only Michael is designated as an archangel. Only Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't say
but this is the angels. It says it also numbers seven angels, and they refer to chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. What book is that? Daniel. Daniel 27. I'm going to take a look at that. I know we got to get off the line. Daniel, that's wrong. What is that referring
to? Where do you see
that? In part B, chief princes.
Yeah, no. That's not referring to the Bible. This is it's called the Apocryphal Book of Enoch.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
The Book of Enoch. All right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a great book too, the one that they took out of they would not canonize.
They
didn't canonize for Christians. Ladies, I'm gonna I just want to share this too. I spoke with Penny today. We didn't get to finish because she got another phone call, but she was just explaining to sister. And of course, we're gonna continue to speak, God willing, when I get a minute or when she's free. But she was saying how much her sister had gone through, you know. So
I spoke with her intensely this morning. Yeah, I did
spoke
speak
her.
To her intensely this morning. I want to send her some flowers from the church.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. Get her address and whatever. That'd be nice. All right.
Okay,
have another
guys.
Call. Love
nice.
You all.
Love you too.
Love you too.
Have
God
a
bless.
Good one.
Bye.
So,
what do you say, Angela?
No, I was going to say good night, everybody. Shalom.
Okay. Shalom.
Okay.
Have a blessed
you
a blessed
too.
Night. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
So at this time, we are going to go into Heaven's Door as our closing song. Amen.
glorious life of redemption. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I repent for my sins, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.